New card. What do you think?
Get over here!
Hadouken!
That man is playing Galaga.
I understood that reference.
You shall not pass!
So say we all.
So say we all.
Run with me.
It's adamantium tasting time, boys.
Well, maybe it's still number one.
All wings report in.
Welcome to your weekly interval. This is the Best Damn Nerd Show. I am your host, microphone alchemist James Kincaid. And with me tonight, executive producer Adam Zika has deigned us all worthy of his presence. Notice everybody else bailed out, but we got you here, Adam.
I'm the, what is it, the second?
You got top billing. The only billing.
I feel like I'm the B team.
No, I know you're not on the B squad. it's good to have you back, Adam. Adam is here for a very specific reason, other than, you know, nobody else could do the show. But he's here.
That's
very
the main
specific
reason, but there's also a secondary reason.
Yeah, there is another big time reason I'm very excited to tell you about. But you know, more on that in just a few minutes. I have to start the show off on a sort of somber note. Kentaro Miura, the author of the Berserk manga, did pass away. And while I did not read the manga of Berserk, I have nothing but fond memories of watching the original anime at the Cool's house. For the longest time, first of all, it was marvelous. Like that anime is still holds up to me. There have been other attempts at doing Berserk as an anime, and none of them have been the quality or as captivating as that original one that I watched. And for the longest time, that anime, if people ask me, oh, what's your favorite one, it's always Berserk. I was just so taken with the story, the setting, Guts, Griffith. I mean, Guts is just such a great protagonist character. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it before. It really like opened my eyes to sort of what the anime genre really was and could be. And just the violence, the brutality, the kinds of stories that they can tell was crazy. Adam, did you dip a toe in on Berserk?
A little bit. I remember you talking about it. I wasn't involved in the viewings over at the Cool's house. I don't know how I missed that. But I did.
It was Paul.
Yeah, I did on my own. I tried to watch a few episodes. I enjoyed it. I think I maybe got about three or four episodes, and it was just a time when there were so many shows going on, I had to switch off of it. But I did enjoy what I saw, and I was trying to dip my toes into anime a little bit, and you know, see what all the hubbub is about. And I think that's a good one to start with.
I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I hope you finish it, even though the anime itself ends on a cliffhanger of what's going to happen, which is maybe the only knock against it is that they didn't complete the story, but whatever. It still is what stands the test of time as one of the best. And you're talking about dipping a toe into anime. I am leaning more and more heavily into that. That is, the anime is the future of where I want to be in the nerdosphere, because they're just telling better stories with none of the bullshit that sort of comes with a lot of the newer stuff, none of the having to punctuate everything with a stupid joke or insulting the viewer's intelligence or lecturing me or preaching at me. So I think anime is where it's at, dude. That's the last.
I didn't know you were getting so into anime. When did this?
I feel like society has forced me into that. But no, over the years I've gotten more and more into it as time has gone on. And then the pandemic, I definitely started watching more that I hadn't watched before, and going back and rewatching. I've probably watched all of Cowboy Bebop probably five or six times during the pandemic. I'll just like, if I'm working from home, I'll just throw it on, because I find it very comforting in a weird way.
I'm imagining you still throwing in like the DVDs of it.
No, it's nice because it's streaming, so that's a good thing to have. I got into Attack on Titan as well. So I definitely recommend that one. But yeah, it was sad to see that the author of Berserk passed away. Definitely conjured up immediately those memories of sort of that being my first real super enjoyable in like indelible anime experience was with Berserk. The very first one was putting in my brother's Ninja Scroll DVD, and also being equally impressed and shocked by by what was going on in Ninja Scroll, particularly when one of the characters was, well, whatever. But
yeah, they get into some interesting areas in anime.
Yeah, they do. But a lot of it's great storytelling. Adam, what have you been up to? How are you, man?
I've been good, you know. I just living life. Not too much else going on, I guess, since we last spoke. When I forgot with the last episode I was on hasn't even aired yet.
That is true. Yeah, a little peek behind the curtain is that we got a Zika episode in the can waiting to be released
upon
you.
The world.
Yes. I know you had mentioned off air that you would wish you could have joined us for the Mortal Kombat review. What were your thoughts on the new Mortal Kombat movie?
Oh, I was really looking forward to it. And then I saw the early reviews come in and they were pretty favorable. So Liars. I had the expectations I had were, I don't want to say high, but they were higher than, I think they would have been otherwise. But, yeah, it was not, it did not feel particularly necessary. Like,
what do you think about Cole Young?
I mean, maybe they'll shoehorn him into the game, but I don't know what kind of character he'd be. I don't know what his power is, to be honest. I guess
getting his ass whooped.
I guess he takes some energy from whatever that suit is. Like, the whole thing about not having Johnny Cage, like, was super bizarre to me. I get what they were saying. They were like, oh, we don't want to have like two like characters that are kind of the same, like the comic relief or whatever, which they made, I guess, Kano, like in this one. But it was weird because it had a lot of the stuff I thought I would have wanted from a Mortal Kombat movie, but then it was just really like boring for some reason. I don't know what it was. It just wasn't
There's no
that
fucking
interesting.
Tournament.
I mean, that's the key. I think that's a key thing. The tournament never happened. It never started. I guess they kind of had it in advance, I suppose. Like, that's, I guess, they can really just do that. Like, I understand they're like, oh, we don't play by the rules, but what's the point of the tournament if you just can try to kill everyone before the tournament?
It's so dumb, dude. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it was
bad.
It was pretty bad. Goro looked pretty cool. Like, they did a good job with Goro with, I guess, the special effects they're able to have now. But it was such a, the fight was so short and lame. And I feel like for most of those fights, I don't know. It was pretty disappointing.
It was really bad movie. Goro looked fine, but they still treated him like a total, like, afterthought. It was dumb. It's a bad movie. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
I know you already did a whole episode on it, but I was kind of.
But I'm shell shocked by it still. But you know, talking about bad movies, I guess we should get to the reason why you're here, executive producer Adam Zika, is we're unveiling bringing back an old favorite of the Best Damn Nerd Show with a ghoulish new twist. We are going to be bringing back Movie Night to Best Damn Nerd Show. It will exist within the hub of your regular scheduled episodes, but it'll be sort of the main topic du jour of episodes. We're bringing back Movie Night, but it is Adam Zika Presents Movie Night is what we're leaning heavily into, because your penchant for finding bad films, Adam, and subjecting us to watch them is really an art form. So I wanted to get back to that.
Well, I know it's something Chris Davis appreciates. I was bummed he couldn't make it for this, but I want to save some of the finest picks to make sure that when he can make it.
I even said on the Discord, and by the way, bestdamnnerdshow.com/Discord, when I alerted the fellas to what was going to be going on, Davis said that he couldn't make it. And I said, Zika's going to get you eventually. it's just a matter of time.
Well, I had to sneak in last time.
Yes, and he was always so excited to hear that you were there.
I do appreciate that.
So we'll be bringing back movie nights, and we'll be bringing back your movie night picks as well, which you have just a certain flair for finding. We wanted to sort of ease into it this week. So tell our listeners which movie we're going to be getting into after the break.
Well, this is probably one of the better movies I've picked. Right? Yeah. Like, as I mean, in a way,
but in a way it almost makes it worse too. But
it does. As I was kind of looking through the list, and we talked about this a little bit. We were like, you know, let's ease into it. Let's not go full bore. We had a few picks that, again, I wanted to save for more of a Chris Davis crowd. We're gonna start with the very well-regarded film Max Payne, which is also why I'm wearing the leather jacket. I got to come in character for this one. So we're going to hit up Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis and Chris O'Donnell's in there for some reason.
Dude. so we had bandied about a few options, and you settled on Max Payne. I think it's a good one to start off with. Because it's sort of, you know, more approachable than most of your usual fare.
Yeah, you know, some people may have already seen it.
Yeah, people have heard of it.
Yeah, and so, you know, you can hear about it. I mean, it's very timely, even though Max Payne hasn't been heard of in years.
It is. Well, so the games were very well regarded, and we'll talk a little bit about that too, because I know you and I share a history with Max Payne, the video games, which is another reason why I'm glad that we're doing this one, and it's you and I two-manning it, because that was very much so our Max Payne experience together as well. But yeah, if you haven't seen Max Payne, the movie, and you care about spoilers, or if you think that watching it might help you enjoy the ride, go ahead and pause your Zunes or other non-MP3 playing devices right now, because on the other side, we're going to be getting into Max Payne starring Mark Wahlberg on the Best Damn Nerd Show. It's Adam Zika Presents Movie Night.
Ooh.
Hey everyone, Chris Seglia here, CEO of the 10O Media Network. I would like to say thank you for checking out one of our podcasts, but we need your help. You can support 10O in a multitude of ways. By going to our website and checking out our latest podcasts, by buying some sweet merch, joining our Discord, or getting early and exclusive access to all content via our Patreon. Your support means the world to us, and you can find everything on our website, www.10-o.gg. That's TEN-O.gg. Thank you again. And now, back to the show.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here. And when I'm not verbally super kicking Last Jedi fans on the Best Damn Nerd Show or fantasy casting The Rock in another movie on the DLC, well, that's when I actually get to talk about wrestling. That's right. Come join me in the wrestling war room, where I take my mic to the mat and launch my hot takes about the Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT. The Wrestling War Room, which side are you on?
What up, nerds? Loremaster Tim here. We're excited to be delivering your weekly fix of nerd culture, but it's not enough. We need your life force to sustain us. So use those hot little hands to subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or however you take your medicine. One of our favorite pastimes on the BDNS is reading fan mail on air. So sing us a song of hatred or love, and you may just hear your beautiful words being featured on an episode. That's why it's important, nay, essential, to rate and review us. Until then, as always, nerds, say it loud, say it proud.
Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James Kincaid alongside executive producer Adam Zika and our inaugural Adam Zika Presents Movie Night. We are doing Max Payne. When did this movie come out? This was
2008.
You are right, sir. Yeah. Yes, clearly I did my research for this. Yes, the 2008 tour de force, Max Payne, starring Mark Wahlberg. And before we get into anything else, I want to start with the cast, because I think my main takeaway, or one of my main takeaways from this movie, Adam, was this is one of the most miscast movies that I've ever watched of like a quote major property. Like the casting of this movie was fucking abysmal. And it starts with Mark Wahlberg as Max Payne. Like, I know the director or whatever said that when he first played the game or saw the game footage or whatever, that Mark Wahlberg is who jumped into his head. I don't understand how that's possible. Like, I don't look at Max Payne and see Mark Wahlberg, certainly not the way he acts.
The only thing I can think of is maybe he knew Mark Wahlberg had some downtime and had time to play Max Payne at the time. Because I agree. But even easier with Max Payne is you know what the characters look like because you've seen him in, number one, you've seen the actor who plays him in the first one, which, like, granted, that's not a person I would have play Max Payne either. But in the second one, they get a little bit more into, I think, what you'd expect Max Payne to sort of like.
I mean, was Josh Brolin busy? I mean, maybe. I guess he could have been. Or a Joe Manganiello or a Clive Owen or something. I don't know. Like, also just Mark Wahlberg's whole demeanor and how he carries himself. Like, he is awful as Max Payne. We're going to get more into that. But yeah. Mark Wahlberg, in my opinion, was not the right choice for Max Payne. Mila Kunis as Mona Sachs was even more just a death-defying leap.
Worse. Yeah, even worse. Yeah, it was that. Well, nothing about her was believable, right? Yes. Like, there's no way you're believing she's some sort of assassin. It's just not, like, no, that's not. Like Mila Kunis. And look, I don't have anything against Mila Kunis or Mark Wahlberg. I think they've been in some good movies. I think if they have the right script and stuff, they, you know, but you could have elevated this, I think, a bit if you would have picked a few people who make maybe even the tiniest bit more sense in, like, the characters.
Yeah, I'm so glad. There's nothing believable about Mila Kunis as Mona Sachs. Like, it's just right from the word go, completely taken out of it when she shows up. And I like Mila Kunis, and I do like Mark Wahlberg as well, but they were so wrong for their respective parts. Like, just watch any scene with Mila Kunis in this movie and tell me that you buy anything that she's doing, right down to her speaking Russian, which I actually think she does in real life, but I didn't even believe that. So it's just atrocious. I think the best cast person in this movie was that chick that gets killed in the beginning of it. She was the most believable part. Bo Bridges as B.B. Hensley, spoiler alert, the villain, the main villain of this movie, ex-partner of Max Payne's father. So you're casting Jerry O'Connell's racist dad from Jerry Maguire as the main villain of this movie, and the guy that supposedly was able to dart out of Max Payne's house fast enough to avoid being caught after his wife and baby were murdered. This guy is another, just like, he's a fine character actor, but he's your main bad. This guy,
yeah,
we can do better than this.
Okay, and then, like, Chris O'Donnell. Fine, it's cool, like, he's back kind of for that, whatever that short period of time
he honestly, he was one of the better performances in the movie, I thought.
I mean, he was, but he didn't have to, you know, there was no real character for him to play. I don't think his character was in the game, right? So you had BB was in the game, Mona Sachs is in the game, I don't, the third Thrun or whatever, the head woman,
yes,
who heads up, she's in the game. I don't think he's in the game. So, like, you didn't even have to have somebody to do that. For some reason, it just, I don't know, like, I don't know what it was. It just took me out. Like, I think seeing Chris O'Donnell in anything now just takes me out of things because I'm like, oh, that's Chris O'Donnell. I don't think about a character anymore. I just think, oh, that's Chris O'Donnell. I feel like I haven't seen him in a movie in a really long time.
How about Ludacris as Jim Rivera, who is from the game? That was another one. There's like, what are we doing?
Oddly, I will say Ludacris had some of the better, like, scenes. I don't know why. Like, none of it was good, but it was like after I first was like, oh, that's Ludacris. That Ludacris is in this.
So I was gonna say, what are you saying right now?
Yeah, it didn't. It was fine. I mean, his character, he had such a little really part to play in it that it almost, it didn't matter. But I don't know. The cast, it was just a bizarre, all around, just a very bizarre cast.
It was awful. Like again, one of the main takeaways from this movie is just, dude, what an just atrociously cast movie. Didn't believe any of them other than the girl that got killed in the towards the beginning of the movie. I believe that. She's a smoke too. So, we watched the unrated version. I don't know if want to get. Ooh. I don't know if you want to get into this right now. So. Years ago, I watched this movie, but I didn't retain anything about it. I remember thinking it was crap, but I didn't remember it. And then you mentioned that the unrated version is out there. So I was like, let's give this a watch. So what are the differences between the unrated version and the what, I guess, PG-13
the
version?
So I actually forgot that this movie was PG-13. Like, I also saw it back in the day. And that's the other thing, right, is like, Max Payne is not a PG-13. You do not make a PG-13 Max Payne, right? Like, and, you know, we can hark back to Mortal Kombat, right? Where, you know, there was a PG-13 Mortal Kombat. Actually, that, like, oddly worked for what it was, I feel. But with Max Payne, you know, like, just go all in, I think, if you're gonna do this movie, right? So, the unrated version, which is... really, you know, I remember back then, it's a way for you to sell more DVDs, right? Like, it comes out and nobody wanted to watch that again, I'm sure. Or maybe even for the first time, you slap unrated on it, people are like, okay, like, I'll check that out. That's probably pretty cool. I did look at some of the differences. Most of it basically was they add the digital blood splatter, which is kind of the usual thing for, I assume it's digital blood splatter, because they usually don't like do a ton of the practical stuff. It's just more expensive, right? So they just add some digital blood splatter to scenes, like when he's beating up, you know, Chris O'Donnell, you see some the blood splatters. A few more bullet holes just have larger, the bullet holes are slightly larger, like nothing other than that, just like the very basic stuff. Which I've, you know, you've seen in like all sorts of other unrated movies that come out as PG-13. Cause when they make it, like, they do have a rating in mind generally. They're not just like, I'm gonna do it whatever. And if I have to absolutely cut this down to PG-13, I will, right? Like, you kind of have to go in with something in mind. So there's only so much you're gonna be able to see from an unrated version. And it's barely any differences. And in some ways, it's worse. I saw some of the differences and it's like they make some scenes longer, which are boring. And they make some scenes shorter, which were actually probably, you know, showed more of the story in the first one. So they made it worse too somehow in some cases.
I didn't remember very much of when I watched it the first time through, but I didn't see anything that felt very unrated or anything about it.
Like, I mean, and you could already tell right off the bat, right? Because you're with the Natasha, right? The Natasha character,
when she's, I thought of you too.
It's like, this is the dead giveaway, right? It's like
somebody doesn't want to do a nude scene.
Yeah, she's taking the dress off and immediately in the bed covering up, and it's like,
yeah, it's like the opposite of Halle Berry from Swordfish,
right? It's like the you know, you already know for an unrated version what you're getting into when none of those scenes change because they didn't film those scenes, obviously. They wouldn't have. So I always find that to be funny.
I think that I guess now, as you reflect on having watched it, what was your initial thoughts on having chosen it for this movie night?
I'm glad I did, because I wasn't, you know, I was. The thing you always have to watch out for with bad movies is the self-awareness factor, right? Mm-hmm. And like, this maybe was a movie that even should have been more self-aware than it was. But this, it really felt like they genuinely were trying to capture the, you know, the attitude of the game and like kind of the gritty, like cop like stuff. And it just is so, it rings so false. It's pretty crazy. So I was happy with how it did feel like they tried, which I liked, because that means it's just easier to
to make fun of.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will disagree with you somewhat there. I think they tried to make a cop movie. I don't think they tried at all to make a Max Payne movie whatsoever. Because outside of the opening sort of like Mark Wahlberg narration where he's talking about, you know, the dead bodies and stuff like that. One of the signature things about Max Payne is the film noir VO narration metaphors and stuff like that. And we got next to none of that in this movie whatsoever. Dude, you remember, Adam, one of my favorite things was Max Payne quotes, particularly after the second one. And there was like none of that in this. So there was none of that from Max Payne. When he gets into the car with his partner, he's like, where are we going? I just like, what the fuck?
No, Max Payne. I mean, we already, Max Payne is not Max Payne in this. So that aside, I totally agree with you on the, at the beginning, it's like they knew what they were supposed to do and then they just ignored it. Right. It's like the very beginning, they were like, okay, this is what Max Payne is. You've got the kind of the voiceovers, you've got that gritty feel. I do think they were trying to make noir because of the visual style was noir. But the actual like story and the any of that voiceover like schmaltz stuff was not there, except for the first few minutes. Maybe the last few minutes.
It had some noir aspects to it, but like the stuff that they were doing with in the game, it was called Valkyr. I don't remember if they called it Valkyr in the movie, but the drug essentially
it was the same in the movie.
Yeah. The visuals behind that felt like more they were trying to rip off Constantine than they were trying to make film noir or make a Max Payne movie. Like that to me was like when he hulks up towards the end after he gets in the pier and just like, it's like what the fuck? It's just like what were we doing? It was more Constantine or like a superhero movie than it was a Max Payne movie.
Yeah, I don't know what order you want to go in terms of the movie. I have a few thoughts though on what you just said. So
go ahead.
As far as Constantine goes, it's a really good observation because, you know, Constantine, the movie Constantine, was directed by somebody who directed music videos, right? And so everyone was like, okay, visually it looks like a music video, and like that's exactly what it feels like for Max Payne. Is it feels like they're trying to do a few scenes, like it's all set pieces, right? It's all like here's a scene where it's like you've got the fire around and stuff, and it's because he, you know, well, they take the drugs, he takes the drug, which I want to get to in a moment, for obvious reasons. But you get that visual, those visuals, and I think they just wanted those visuals. So every time they got a chance to show that,
makes no fucking sense.
Right? They just wanted to show that stuff. Now there was a couple cool things with the visuals. The scene where the guy jumps off that house and gets kind of pulled away by the demon, which you're supposed to assume it's all being seen. You know, it's all kind of hallucinating. Visually, that was cool. It just like, that's it. It was just a cool visual, but like that doesn't make a movie, right? That's just like, that makes a music video. So, but the him taking the stuff, first of all, why did he take two? Like, if you are like, okay, I'm going to take this stuff because I might freeze to death and maybe this will save me. Maybe you start with one, considering you know it drives people insane.
Yeah.
Instead of immediately gulping down two of those. And I also like how he got no ill effects from it. I guess he's the 1% of people that
he's
just,
a 1%er.
Yeah. Well, good for him. That's very lucky. Because the other people seem to go insane and just turn into addicts.
Yeah, they said in the movie it's literally it had a 1% success rate, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just so they could explain. Explain the main dude who, by the way, like I wouldn't call Lupino. Him a success either. He looked like he went insane. So
he went absolutely batshit. How about he like is just lurking outside of Max Payne's house and then lurking still at the scene of the
everywhere.
Crime? Yeah, what the fuck?
He's lurking everywhere, and why? What's he doing?
He doesn't do anything in the movie other than, I mean, he kills the girl in the beginning and like, it's just, God, it's so bad.
He kills a couple of people. Why? I don't know. Like he's just crazy, I suppose. And then he's trying to, they keep talking about them building an army of, like, was he? He was, there was a scene where he was like giving somebody it and then he kills the person. I don't know what was going on. What was he supposed to be doing?
This movie missed a key sort of like part. Like, I will stand by the Max Payne video games, at least the first two. I haven't played the third one, but Max Payne 1 and 2, were, and I kind of view them like Halloween 1 and 2. They're sort of just a continuation and a completion of a great story. They missed the mark so bad in the actual like hunt for him trying to find his wife and child's killer, you know, and sort of like the layering in of like the mafia aspect and the Russian mob aspect and stuff like that. It's like this one just, it devolved immediately into just, like you said, the cool visuals of the people on Valkyr, but it made no sense. Like the whole leap was about a tattoo. You know, and like, and why was the tattoo was also the logo of the company? It just, what?
I also love that was a revelation. He looks at the pic. Okay.
His wife's worked there for years.
His wife works there. That building is huge. And I don't know if it's on the, I know the words is on the building.
Yeah.
There's no way you just made that leap right then when you looked at that picture. Dude. of that. But I also like the scene where he goes into the tattoo parlor and that person is so well versed on this stupid tattoo.
I'm glad you brought that up.
He pulls up a random tattoo in the book. The guy has a book next to him where he tells
that's
all
a
about
Valkyrie
Norse.
That's Norse mythology.
he's got it all right up here.
Angel. Yeah. No, I'm so glad you brought up that scene. Like especially when Max asks, well, what do they need protection from? And then all of a sudden he's like, what? And right. Max gets hella aggro with him. He's like, you said they did it for protection. I'm so glad that resonated with you because he's so like amped to talk about the Valkyrie and stuff like that. And what does the tattoo have to do with the drug?
And they don't, nobody, like nothing, they said nothing ties together in this at all. And you're going back to what you're saying about like just dropping the mafia stuff. Like that's a key element in the games. And he, in the games, I think he's like undercover, right? In the mob, I think. And he's in the DEA. And in here, he's just like
working cold cases.
It's fine, but why not go that? I understand they don't want to tell the exact same story, but what they did was they took the characters and they made like a way worse story with the same characters. I don't know what they were thinking when they made this.
It really was. I mean, I applaud you because at first I was like, I don't know if this is really going to be at the normal level of like Adam's movie picks in terms of lack of quality. But I actually think this one is just right on par, especially given that they had some great source material to work with. And this is it has like almost no story.
It does. The story it does have doesn't make sense. So like what I was trying to figure out, like this is like one key thing that I do not understand. Maybe you can shed some light on it. Why? So BB is, you know, he's you're not supposed to know he's the bad guy, but if you played the game, I guess you would know. But he saves Max Payne from being killed by that.
Yes.
By Lupita. Was it?
Lupino.
So that he can take him and put him in the water to kill him. What benefit? Like faking Max Payne's death is fine, but if somebody else was gonna kill him already, and Max Payne, by the way, already is being accused of murdering like
Natasha or whatever.
Natasha, like what is he doing? What do you gain from stopping him to take him to the water? To throw him in the water, which seems like a way riskier way to kill him.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up as well. It makes zero sense. And also the fact that he's like doing the supervillain explaining himself thing. And he's like, once I realized that I could do this, you know, once I killed your wife and realized I had this power to just get away with it, I should have been doing it for years. It's like the flimsiest, most like
no motivation whatsoever.
awful. And yeah, I think my favorite part of the whole thing was, yes, he saved him from being killed by, you know, the main heavy, Lupino. Yeah. Yes, he had this terrible sort of explanation for why he killed his wife and why he now sort of is like feels empowered by doing so. Is yeah. that after Max Payne escapes them, they don't wait at all. He's like, oh, he's dead.
Immediately.
Probably dead.
Immediately. You couldn't wait 20 more seconds. So by the way, I don't know if they know how long it takes for people to hold their breath underwater. It's probably not that long. Also it's freezing. So
yeah.
Just wait a minute.
Yeah.
And make sure he's dead. Like
immediately, you know,
wait,
left.
Wait 2 minutes. Like they're like in 1 second, they're like, nah.
Dude, so awful. That was like I rewound that part because I was like stunned. I was like, wait, really? Like this is
yeah, no, and it was right away. They didn't there was no beats. It was like, all right, he's probably dead. Let's go.
Yeah. No, he's not. There ain't no coming back from that.
He's like, he fell in the water. It's cold.
Not to mention, you know, that to ensure his death, they were going to tie like a, you know, a cement block to him to make sure, or it was a, like a sewer cap or something like that, yeah, to make sure that he sunk to the bottom. But no, he just dove in of his own accord. Like, so I'm sure that'll kill him.
Yeah, it's cold. It's snowing. Like, nobody can survive that.
I liked when Max came back too, and he got out of the car or whatever. They were in the garage, and they're like, "It's him." And he still's like, "No way, he's dead."
Yeah.
Thank God, so awful. Something else I wanted to bring up that I was watching for. I remember watching for it and being underwhelmed by it the first time, but you know, new set of eyes. You know, again, this movie came out very timely in 2008, and this is why we're reviewing it now in 2021. Is the style of Max Payne, the video game. And we're going to talk more about the game because this is essentially just two crazy people right now yelling about a movie from 2008 that's a piece of shit. But I do want
wouldn't
to
have it any other way.
Good.
Wouldn't yeah. have it any other way.
The style of the signature of Max Payne video games is the bullet time, right? Like, I would have gone into this, you know, expecting them to overdo it in this movie.
Yeah.
They did not do it enough. They like, that's why I say they made kind of a cop movie, but not really a Max Payne movie at all. The best use of the bullet time is when Chris O'Donnell gets killed. That's really the only time that they used it well. And the scene with the shotgun. No, I don't understand. Like, what were they thinking here?
Yeah. So a few scenes came to mind where they tried to kind of pull the Max Payne part. And one was when he jumps forward with the gun, but he's not shooting somebody in that scene. He's shooting a door.
The door. Yes.
It's like, of the times to use it, that seems like a little bit of a weird time. The other time, is, I don't even know if that is that even considered bullet time when Chris O'Donnell gets shot. Cause I mean, I know it happens in slow motion, but I don't remember if you see the bullet. I don't remember.
That to me felt the most like the Max Payne bullet time aesthetic.
The very end when he shoots BB, is the most was like, it had it all the way from the gun to the bullet to him. But yeah, for this kind of movie, especially the scenes, all the scenes they had with that, it's like they could have just done, and they clearly cared about visuals above everything else. They could have just done a bunch of those bullet time scenes, and you'd at least be like, I mean, it was Max Payne, so at least they had like some bullet time stuff. But yeah, they
I would have preferred them. I would have leaned so much harder into doing more bullet time stuff. Like,
yeah, other movies have done more, right? Like, yeah, there's been other movies which have done more of the bullet time stuff than Max Payne has, and it's Max Payne.
Yeah, I actually think aesthetically, stylistically, it would have been cool. It would have made it feel like Max Payne if every fight, like, he has at least a little bit of bullet time, then he runs out. It would have felt like we're playing the video game. Not saying that he literally runs out of this resource, but if we go into it and then we snap back into real time, in each sort of action scene, and then we, you know, go forth as usual, would have at least felt like the freaking video game. The shotgun scene where he's doing the backflip in slow motion was so piss poor.
That shotgun back sequence is so weird. But yes, that shotgun in general, dude, that thing like was like a cannon to those people, and it was like barely shook him when he's like shooting it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like the game. I'll give him that. I do appreciate that we dealt with some junkies early on in the movie.
You get the Roscoe Street Station, which is cool. The visual of that, like, that's why I kind of feel like they did throw in a few things which I appreciated. Of that, the scenes where with like the wife and the baby and stuff. You hear the crying baby, which, as we know from the game, hear for a very long time because our favorite, we've talked about this a lot, but our favorite parts from the game is when you're in the nightmare sequences.
Yeah, explain that sequence for those that might have not played it or maybe it's been a minute.
Yeah, at least in the first one, there's, I think, two or three nightmare sequences. I want to say there's two nightmare sequences, and you are running through, it's like a maze with platforming aspects, which, by the way, that game should, it's not a platformer, so
no,
like they should not have attempted that. And you have to not only do the platforming, but you have to find the way out of the maze, all the while the baby's crying in the background. And you will not just play that scene for a few seconds, like you will play that over and over and over again because the platforming's so bad. So that is like ingrained in your skull, is that crying.
Because it's platforming in darkness. Like the only things that I think it's like a line of blood.
You have a little line of blood and that's it. And it's like, it's not fun at all.
No,
like it completely breaks up the game.
It's the most like the movie in terms of not being fun at all.
Yeah.
Really annoying. But yeah, the baby crying. It's like,
yeah, I just remember that
the whole time,
because the whole rest of the game, you know, you die maybe a few times and you get through it. It's like with this, you are doing that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's, if I could have omitted one thing from that. But yeah, the lack of the signature style that would have been like, why make a Max Payne movie to begin with? It's like, oh, you know, it's this really cool film noir. He lays on heavy the metaphors, and there's this really cool dynamic in terms of like the slow motion bullet time aspect of things, and they did next to none of that in this movie.
Yeah, and it's like the visual style, you know, reminded me a bit of Sin City. Obviously, Sin City was black and white with the color and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, they would have been also better off going that route. I mean, Sin City did it just way better, and obviously, they're, you know, Sin City was using different source material, but they should have just leaned into that, even if it was actually, when did Sin City come out? Sin City came out
like probably, I think, like 05 or 06,
a few years before that. Yeah. So, it would have been a ripoff, but it's Max Payne. So I think that would have still been like a better way to do it than how they did it.
They cut out my favorite character from the movie too. Vladimir Lem was not in this movie, and he's such a, and like the, what was it, like the inner circle or whatever from
they cut out the whole story. Well, they cut out a huge part of why the ending here didn't make sense or was like really bad, is that he basically is getting arrested at the end. But in the game, it's like there's the inner circle part of it, which means, you know, he's got the protection and stuff if he were to get arrested. So in this, it's just like, it's just him running around killing some people, and then he gets arrested, and that's the end of the story, right?
It's just, and also they didn't even, he doesn't get the, maybe they had a sequel planned, but he doesn't get the reveal with Horn either. You know, that she was in on.
No.
It just kills BB.
There is a I didn't see it, but I read that there's a post credit scene with Horn in it, where they're looking at a magazine of Horn. Basically, like the idea is they're whatever going to go after Horn next, but it doesn't matter.
No,
obviously. Yeah, it's
really
some
bad
stuff. It's some stuff.
There's
sure.
there's a couple more things I wanna get to about it. It's reception. I wanna dive into the games, but let's take one more break. On the other side, we'll finish talking about Max Payne on the Best Damn Nerd Show that is existing within Adam Zika Presents Movie Night.
Hey you, this is Sweet Johnny Cage from 10-0. I'm here to tell you about the next big thing coming in hot from our production house. It's called the Game Club Podcast. Join me and our diverse panel of game masters as we discuss our experiences playing some of our favorite video games. Whether it's a remake of a classic game from our childhoods, a game we might have missed during the height of its release, or a brand new title that tickled our collective fancy, you're sure to love what we have to say. Who knows, maybe you'll learn something about a game you never considered playing. I know I have. Find us on Spotify under Game Club today.
It's me, Iron Sh- No, Iron Nerd Min-Maxer, Hanzo Gonzo, inviting you into kitchen- the Tenno Media Arena to see whose nerdiness will reign sup- No, no, we're gonna get sued if you- will triumph a lotly. Come check out all the battles on the Tenno Media Network Patreon, or you can just skip to the parts where Steve physically breaks something for no reason. See you there.
Hey guys, it's the loquacious anime and manga lover Jammers here. Now I have watched a lot of anime, and I've read an abundance of manga, so you would think that I have a pretty interesting opinion on the culture. From classics like Golden Boy and Ghost in the Shell, to masterpieces such as Psycho Pass and Gantz. Come and join me as I talk about the world of anime and manga, which has had a huge impact on my life. And who knows, whatever I talk about and recommend to you guys could become one of your favorite series.
Ammo with Jammers.
Nerdosphere, it's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here, and we want you to be in on the conversation with us. So sound off to us in our Discord, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at TheBDNS. And you know, maybe you actually like the Star Wars prequels and sequels. Maybe you think the MCU should be a comedy open mic night on the big screen. Whatever you think, we love to feature the hottest takes from our fans on the show. So remember, if you're a nerd, always say it loud and say it proud. Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show on Adam Zika Presents Movie Night. We are continuing on our talk about Max Payne, the 2008 adaptation of the video game. And I wanted to, there's a couple of notes that as I was reading about this movie after having watched it. We're talking about Beau Bridges playing B.B. Hensley. And this is straight from the Wikipedia. It says Bridges had never heard of the game, but since his children were excited to learn about his role, they convinced him it would be a big movie.
Oh, that was a mistake.
I'm just wondering about what his relationship is like with his kids after that. Like, what do you say? Like, fuck me on that one.
I mean, if you're, I don't know how old those kids were at the time, but you know better than to have anyone you know star in a video game adaptation, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to end well, usually.
Another note that can't be, we can't let pass is that, you know, this is an award-nominated movie. Mark Wahlberg got a Razzie Award nomination for Worst Actor for
his
performance.
But yes. That's well-deserved, actually. And wasn't that the same year as The Happening?
Yeah, he got double nominated. Yeah, that's... I think he must have split the vote because Mike Myers ended up winning that year for The Love Guru.
Ooh. Yeah, that would have... That was a great year for Mark Wahlberg.
It's
both
year,
happening
great
and
year for shitty
Max
movies.
Payne. Oh yeah.
I can't stress enough how bad Mark Wahlberg was as Max too. He brought none of the signature Max Payne stylings to the role. I've enjoyed Mark Wahlberg movies, but boy, was he just wasn't Max Payne in this. It was just didn't feel at all like they captured what Max Payne was about.
Didn't feel like he was into it either. Right. Like I got the sense that, you know, you get the sense that when somebody's just going through their lines and it's like, it really felt that like he was literally just reading his lines, like, you know, whatever. It's like, be angry, be, you know, kind of like grumpy, and that's it, right? There's no, like, there's nothing behind it. It just felt so it felt so fake.
Yeah, by the way, random ass Nelly Furtado played the widow of his slain partner, by the way, too.
That I didn't know.
Odd little note. And I wanted to bring up again the quotes and like just the overall style that they did not hit on here. So I'm gonna read some of my favorite Max Payne video game quotes, and they just sort of to illustrate how little of that we got. This was always my favorite one from the second one. There are no choices, nothing but a straight line. The illusion comes afterwards when you ask why me and what if. When you look back and see the branches like a pruned bonsai tree or a forked lightning. If you'd done something differently, it wouldn't be you. it would be someone else looking back, asking a different set of questions. And let's, I got to find the things I want quote from Max Payne, because that is, that is also from Max Payne too. The things I want by Max Payne, a smoke, a whiskey for the sun to shine. I want to sleep to forget, to change the past, my wife and baby girl back, unlimited ammo and a license to kill. Right then, more than anything, I wanted her. I mean, that's just a couple examples of sort of the style and what Max Payne is supposed to be. And we got zero zilch of that. And we were talking off air about Mila Kunis playing Mona and the relationship with her and Max. Like, what? There's not like zero. Not feeling it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's like weird. You all of a sudden. So I mean, she goes from thinking he killed her sister to then her being like, okay, that, I guess that didn't happen. And then towards the end, I guess you're supposed to think that she's like into him, or they're like in some sort of, they get along. It just, none of that like built up at all.
And she didn't get fake killed in this one either, which is supposed to be like a big deal in the first game, right?
Yeah. Fake killed in the first one and then actually killed in the second one.
Yes. Yeah.
Although, well, apparently with an alternate ending where she doesn't get killed.
Where she wakes up. Yeah. But I like the death ending.
Yeah. It's easier if you just don't think of her as the actual Mona Sachs from the video game. If you don't try to compare it to the video game, things go a little better in that regard.
It was colder than the devil's heart, raining ice pitchforks as if the heavens were ready to fall. I don't know about angels, but it's fear that gives men wings. Like, why couldn't we just have these peppered threat? Like, there was just no.
You got it at the beginning. That's it.
That's the very, very first scene. Bad. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the graphic novel aspect of the Max Payne games. And like, I love in the second one that they make fun of it. And so any other notes about the Max Payne movie? Because I want to spend the last few minutes here talking about the greatness of the first two Max Payne games.
Now I need to get this taste out of my mouth. Let's move on to the game.
great. I love in like the second one, the fact, first of all, I think it might be as close to turning on faucets galore. Adam Zika, your ideal scenario for any video games is being able to turn on faucets in terms of for realism. But I love the fact that throughout the games, you have the Lords and Ladies television series.
It's great. I love that. And okay, I don't want to go back to the movie again, but yeah, the movie didn't have any humor, right?
Right.
Like zero, like as far as I know, it has zero humor.
And you know what, honestly though, it didn't deserve to have any, because the Max Payne humor works because they nailed everything else so that they could get away with it. That movie nailed nothing, so they didn't deserve any humor.
The Lords and Ladies TV, basically, yeah, you turn on these TVs and there's this ongoing show called Lords and Ladies, and it's just people,
it's a precursor
saying,
to Downton Abbey.
Yeah, just people, my lord, saying, my lord, my lady.
I like the parody of Max Payne himself though, the detective show.
Oh yeah,
when it's like it was raining, like all the angels in heaven were pissing at the same time. When your life's a shambles, all you can do is think in metaphors. So it's like there's like that little bit of self awareness that you said that maybe the movie could have used.
Yeah.
But you played Max Payne 1 before I ever did. What are your sort of fond memories from playing Max Payne?
Yeah, I remember Max Payne. It was just the atmosphere was good. The gunplay is obviously really fun with like with the bullet time. The story, the story's not bad. Like the first one, obviously you had a different budget, right? So we talked about this back in the day, but the actors who play the people look a little goofy. Like they look kind of like friends of the developers or something. But
yeah.
I think they did what they could with what they had at the time. And obviously you get that that budget increase in the second one, which is why I, you know, remember most fondly back to the second one, because they just kind of like expanded upon the first. Pretty much every part of it was better. But I do think that in the first one, if I recall, I think you could still turn on faucets in the first one.
You could, yes.
So that was a good early sign that was going to be a pretty, pretty solid game.
And the another thing the movie missed was the constant use of painkillers to restore health. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that.
Point.
every time, but like at least hearing the jingle jangle of, right. of some no, painkillers would have been nice. Like that's a signature moment.
Give a little bit showing that you played the game, right? Like just give us a couple little moments.
Yeah, like even maybe like beats the shit out of one of those tweakers in the beginning and he like hurts his hand or whatever and he just slams a couple of pills.
Just have it in your jacket.
It also adds to the sort of like the plausibility of why internal affairs would be like so hot to trot on him anyway. It'd be sort of like Minority Report that like, you know, Tom Cruise's character was kind of doping it up after he lost his kid. So yeah.
I can't believe you're mentioning Minority Report and Max Payne in the same breath.
Everybody runs.
But it's a fair point.
No painkillers. Again, they didn't even, it's like, did not even bother to try and capture certain little essences of the game.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have actually minded more nightmare sequences in the movie either, because you have,
they're already going that route.
They're already going that way. They're just doing it with the with them taking the drugs and seeing certain things. But when he goes back and sees the scene where his wife and like you, he goes back to it, I don't know, once or twice, but he just kind of sees the scene played out. But he doesn't. Yeah. You don't get any of the surreal stuff that you get in the first and second one, and especially when he's, I think when the second one or the I can't remember which one, but when he's forced to take it, you know, that's when he gets kind of like trippy.
Yeah.
And that's like a perfect time to kind of expand on that and show his like mind frame and like how tortured he is. But instead they just make him go into like doom god mode. Like
so bad. I would have been down to include the nightmare scenes as well. I love playing Max Payne. The reason why this is so perfect that we're doing this together is you introduced me to Max Payne. I think like a couple years after it had initially come out.
I played it late, so like neither of us had played it, and then I finally picked it up, and I was like, "Hey, you should check this out. I think this is up your alley."
Yeah, and it definitely was. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I know we both played played the second one together, which was a ton of fun and a great follow up to the first one. I think Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne, is one of the great video game sequels of all time. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. And the third one neither of us played and it didn't really get very good reviews, and it seemed to be a totally different game. I mean,
it was too detached.
It's in another country. It's like he's like a security personnel. It's like they completely went another direction with it. Actually, one thing, you know, we were talking about, are we just crazy people talking about the movie at some random time? Yes, we are. But speaking of the game, I think not that long ago they re-released Max Payne in a remastered edition.
Oh, did they?
Maybe look that up and check, because I think they did.
I'd be down to play through that again.
I mean, it might have been
Remastered. Let's see. I don't know. Teasing something for its 25th anniversary. 20th. I don't see anything definitive.
I'll check it. I'll check it out as well. I could have sworn they.
We'll look it up.
Released.
One of the things I can't talk Max Payne without bringing up Poets of the Fall and Late Goodbye, which is like the song that is featured in Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne. It is on my Spotify playlist. I think it will forever be. The movie missed so much the layering in of any sort of intricacy to the plot. Like there was no maze for Max Payne to go down. Like the first two games, he's navigating through the various organized crime, people, because like that's the clues that he has to follow. This one, he's got a tattoo that matches the tattoo of somebody who was dead at the crime scene, his wife, that he didn't put that together. He remarks about Vanessa's interesting tattoo in the beginning of the movie, but it's his partner that put it together, and he dies before he gets to tell him. And then he goes to the tattoo artist who knows everything about Norse mythology.
Luckily, too, his partner scribbled all over that picture. To be like he breaks into that guy's office. It just,
yes,
like as everyone at the department, I guess, hates him.
for whatever reason.
Which I don't know why, but they do. He goes to that guy's office, which also that guy had a really nice office. Okay, here's the other. Why do all these people have such nice offices and big offices? That dude, the head of BB, the head of security, that guy's office was amazing. There's no way as a head of security you're getting an office like that. He's got like the Scotch setup, which also you probably don't want to have if you're in a security mode. But the picture, it has it circled and it's written a big red marker, like same, it's like same per, like connected to like Michelle, you know, it's like so dumb, like the whole thing. And the fact that he couldn't put that together himself, it's just so
well,
so
yeah. Stupid. And he remarked about Vanessa's tattoo at the beginning of the movie. Like, what are we doing? Also, it just makes no sense. Like, what Aesir is doing? Like, how are they successful? If they're trying to create super soldiers with a drug that's only successful 1% of the time, like they did not do nearly a good enough job of like the why of any of this. And no. You could have a flimsy story, but you have a flimsy story, nothing's happening, the performances are god-awful, and you're not even incorporating aspects of the video game, which is why people were such a fan of it. Again, the lack of the bullet timing usage, the lack of the just heavy-handed film noir metaphor and narration and stuff. Like, if you add those aspects in, it might be like one of those guilty pleasure type movies. But
and that's how you have to go with this, right? Like, you're not going to be making a... You're not going to make a Max
Payne
movie.
Making a movie here, not a film.
Right. You're not making a Max Payne film, right? Like, it's just not, it's not going to happen, because the reason why the game was fun and successful and what it was because they were taking aspects of movies and making it so you could play them, right? When you're taking out the aspect of playing it, you then have to do a lot to make it like entertaining and good and memorable. So they should have just gone like full absolute cheese. They should have made it obviously R-rated and just gone all out on that, gone more Sin City style. Like, they did none of that, and we ended up with what we had.
Well, here's something that I'm saving towards the end of this show for a good reason. It was not fun to watch. You know, a lot of the, not all of them, Adam. You pick some shitty movies that are not fun to watch. Mummy Mania or whatever it was comes to mind. That
Mummy
was not
Maniac.
A
Mummy Mania.
That was not a movie. Like, but this was just not enjoyable, like, to watch. It was boring, which is, I think it's infinitely harder to make a boring movie than it is to make a bad movie. And there's like just a lot of boring aspects to this film.
Do you remember the timestamp when you checked how long there was going to be left? Because I do. Because I distinctly remember thinking like, man, God, I hope this is over soon. And I was, the movie is about an hour, 45 minutes. I checked it at the hour mark. And I really felt like it was almost done. So I don't know if you checked, but I was definitely feeling it about at that point.
I think I paused about when BB was giving his ex, because I rewound. I rewound to make sure that he ran away so quickly.
Yeah.
so that was definitely a part. Now, I know you are Lord with a lady, and you had mentioned to me that you were concerned that they might enjoy it. What did they think? Or did they not watch it with you?
So she fell asleep. So she didn't finish it. Did she like it? I think she understood that it was bad. I don't think she was watching it for the same reason I was. And she does like these kind of, like, she watched some bad movies on Netflix. Like, some of the new action films that are coming out on Netflix are really bad. She knows they're not good, but I think it's like a guilty pleasure. She didn't. So she fell asleep and she hasn't asked to finish it. So I think she suitably thought it was pretty crappy.
Mm. Well, good.
It gave me some faith.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't say enough of it. I'm glad I saved for the end that I did not. It's not a fun movie to watch, folks. So I apologize if you paused it and watched it so you could listen to this review of Max Payne. Video game movies, oftentimes not a good success rate in terms of being adapted. Where do you sort of rank this in terms of the pantheon of video game films? Because this, for me, is right towards the bottom. Right in the harbor there with Max freezing to death.
I'll usually never say this, but for for that pantheon, this is, I think this is middling, actually.
Wow.
They get so, like, they get real bad. I mean, I don't know if you've, you know, seen Alone in the Dark and some ones like that, but it's amazing how bad they get. So I'd have to go back. I have to go back and kind of like look. And then there's also the fun factor, right? Of like how bad something is, and like where do you rank that? Like where do you rank a Street Fighter? Because like Street
that
Fighter,
movie, Street Fighter, imminently more fun than this movie.
Fun, but
terrible movie.
Bad, right? Like so. This
I
is,
think Street Fighter is better than this.
It's on. It's less. This movie is less fun, right? So, for that reason, I guess it probably ranks lower. But you could argue that it's a more cohesive story than Street Fighter. As sad as that is to say, like it's almost not fair to compare. You just have to.
I think that this one's one of the worst because it should have been the easiest one to make good. One of the easier ones to make just like a good, like it's a detective film noir,
it's a
drama.
It's already a movie, right? Like you've taken
like how did you screw this up so bad?
I don't know, but they did. It's you know what? Speaking of Street Fighter, it's like it almost is like this, like Street Fighter the movie, the game, where it's like how do you mess up a Street Fighter like fighter? And it's like,
yeah.
Well, you go off of what the original thing kind of was, and this is what this kind of did for the movie, right? It's like, it was already a movie, and then they just made it, like, a hacked, like, version of itself.
I'm going to have to, I think, go back and see if I can find my old Max Payne and replay it to get the taste of this stink out of my mouth. I mean, so you succeeded, Adam. You did succeed. You picked a truly terrible movie for us to kick off Adam's Eco Presents Movie Night with.
I try my best. You know, by the way, I wanted to add one more thing. I didn't know this until I was doing a little bit of research. There is a Max Payne short film from 2017.
Really?
That's 45 minutes long or 43 minutes long. I don't know. I think it's a fan film. I'm not sure. Maybe it's on like YouTube or something. It's called Max Payne Retribution. I'm curious if this is better than the movie. Because some
I
of these
would,
fan
I wouldn't
films
doubt
are pretty
it. Good. It's a low bar to clear.
Right.
As we're getting on out of here, what's your rating system, and then what do you give this one, buddy?
Well, I just go with the classic stars out of four. I got to go with my boy Leonard Maltin. You know,
Leonard Maltin, who you met.
I hope you're doing well.
Who you met at Comic Con?
I think we
me.
Had a great conversation at Comic Con. Thank you for pointing him out, James. Even though I didn't believe you.
if you didn't catch up with him, that would have been the end of the friendship.
I
would have woken up every night knowing that truly you did not believe that I saw Leonard Maltin.
Yes. So thank you for that. I never doubt you again when you're saying that Leonard Maltin is in the area.
By the way, this movie has 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be one, like assuming I use one, I gotta go with 1.5 out of 4 on this turd.
It's out of 4. Okay. Well, I'm giving this a half boosh because mine's out of 5. So.
Oh, that's real. That's a 1 out of 10, huh?
Is that, I guess so. Yeah.
I'm just saying that's going real.
I'll give it a boosh then. I'll bump it up to a full boosh.
You're gonna have to check your previous.
I know. Well, those are all the archives are all burned down.
That's really sad. Can we bring some? I mean, no. Some of those were wonderful. We could rewatch them again.
I was just
thinking remastering.
Say, yeah, maybe we should give it a facelift and we'll rewatch Gamebox 1.0.
let's do a remastered podcast of Gamebox 1.0. Not unlike the remastered Max Payne that I made up. That apparently didn't happen.
Hey, I'd be down to play a remastered Max Payne. But yeah, we will confer eventually. We will subject your picks to the rest of the cast here at the Best Damn Nerd Show. But I feel like this was a good start. It definitely, you know, if nothing else, made me appreciate how great the games were more.
Yeah, it makes me want to go back and play the games.
They were tremendous. They really were. So that is going to do it for this edition of the Best Damn Nerd Show. Have a great week, everyone. Remember, if you're a nerd, always say it loud and say it proud.
Hey, everyone. Chris Eglia, CEO of the 10O Media Network here. Thank you so much for listening to our content, but we need your help. Please rate us 5 stars, subscribe, and give us a shining review wherever you listen to this podcast. It really, really helps us out. And one more thing, please tell a friend if you can. Tell them Tasty Steve, Hanzo Gonzo, Mark Mann, Rip, Ricky Replay, or someone who everyone loves sent you or something. That might help. Anyway, again, thank you for listening. And if you want more, make sure to check us out at www.ten-o.gg. www.10o.gg. You're listening to the 10O Media Network.